The First Law of Magic, Chapter 1, Part 6. To his left was a wall of bookshelves packed tightly with various tomes of magic and other areas that the room's owner found interesting, ranging from theoretical magic wave theory to mycology. Between the stacks of books on what little wall space that wasn't occupied by shelving hung a few posters. One was of an elderly bearded unicorn with an elaborate hat and cape that depicted stars and constellations in incredible detail. He stood tall, a confident smile on his face and a fierce glow around his horn. Another depicted a white stallion in golden armor standing proud atop a pedestal with a rising sun behind him, and a single word below him, serve. The last was of some dreadful metal band Twilight liked called the Full Metal Mare, and the poster depicting the helmeted head of a mare with a red mane poking out between the few dinks on the helmet. The only thing not clad in black and steel was her jaw exposing a row of sharpened teeth and a serpentine tongue. Nightlight had no idea why any pony would enjoy such music, but his wife has been quite insistent that they allow to keep her the poster and all the records Twilight had bought, despite his disappointment. The mare in front of him still hadn't moved. The only sign of the fact that she was alive was the faint magical aura around her long horn that flickered briefly, turning the page of whatever she was reading. She was hunched over the large oak desk that lay against the wall underneath a window that was completely covered by a set of blackout blinds. Nightlight faintly remembered an argument about those blinds, his wife insisting that even a little light bothered Twilight's skin. Nightlight then cleared his throat.
Hey, so what are you reading?
The mare hardly moved to the sudden intrusion, merely stopping mid-page and placing a bookmark where she had left off and swiveling her chair around.
A book on advanced rune theory and ancient earth pony magic.
Nightlight merely nodded.
Interesting.
He remarked without enthusiasm.
So, I was hoping to have a conversation just between you and me.
The stallion sat down on the bed, frowning slightly when he noticed a small puff of dust to lift off the blanket, indicating the bed had not been used in quite a while. Putting that thought aside, he patted the part of the bed next to him. The gangly unicorn looked at her father, then the bed, and smiled nervously before plopping down next to him, a little more gracelessly than he did.
Sure, Dad. Do you want to talk about astrology? I read a really good book about all the star magic patterns the other day, and I bet I can finally understand what you've been researching all these years.
The mare's eyes lit up, an innocent smile spreading across her lips, and for a moment, Nightlight couldn't help but imagine her as the tiny innocent filly that she used to be. Guilt pulled on his heartstrings for a moment, but he forced it down. Maybe one day he could forgive her for what she's done, but that had to start with her leaving and stopping her from doing any more damage to his family. The mare beside him looked away, shuffling nervously in the silence.
I even got the book right here. I think it was by Starseeker. Do you know him?
The stallion sighed.
Yes, I know him. He's a brilliant astrologist, but that's not why I wanted to talk to you.
The mare slumped, knowing full well where this conversation was going.
I wanted to ask you why you didn't want to go to Celestia's school. It sounded like a pretty nice offer.
The mare deflated a little, resting her head in between her long forelegs. Then after a long silence, she spoke.
It seems fishy.
Nightlight's temper threatened to boil over at the comment.
But that's it? It seems a little fishy?
He quickly got his anger under control and smiled weakly.
What is so fishy about the princess offering you this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity? You are undeniably a genius. She would be crazy not to try to get you into her school.
Twilight blushed and fled into her hooves a little deeper, hoping her father didn't see her rosy cheeks.
I just want to finish my studies. I'm almost done, so maybe I can go to the princess's school after that? I don't want to just leave everything I've started, especially after you guys already paid for it.
Nightlight breathed a sigh of relief. He was onto something. Twilight had always been a terrible liar, and she was clearly not hitting at the heart of why she didn't want to go. Pressing on, Nightlight placed a gentle hoof on his daughter's shoulder.
Is that the real reason that you don't want to go?
After a few tense moments, the mare's shoulder sagged.
No.
She replied miserably.
Then what is it really?
Twilight gulped.
I like the mare who delivers my assignments and books. She doesn't run away, she's nice, and besides my mom in Shining, she's my only friend. If I left, then I would never see her again. I would go back to being the friendless monster again, and I don't want to be all alone, Dad. Please, don't make me.
Nightlight felt the slightest tinge of guilt when he noticed that he wasn't included in her list of friends, but stowed that for later, similar to those other bothersome feelings. Maybe he had been a little harsh, perhaps. No. He shook his head. This has to be done. The stallion leaned in closer.
You know she's using you, Twilight.
The mare's body suddenly grew rigid.
What are you talking about? No, she isn't! She's my friend!
But the conviction wasn't there. Nightlight pressed his advantage quickly.
I've seen the assignments that she's giving you, Twilight.
The unicorn under his hoof tensed, even more before forcibly making her muscles relax.
She gives you assignments that aren't even the same subject.
The unicorn mare sniffed hard.
I don't know what you're talking about!
The stallion sighed and gently rubbed her shoulder.
I've picked up your assignments. Twilight, I know.
The mare remained tense and silent.
Remember Tuesday last week when she came around?
She gave you her history homework, Twilight.
I'm taking history on the side. I'm studying the Third Griffonian War.
Don't lie to me, Missy. It's my bits that you're spending taking these courses. I know what I'm paying for.
The mare sobbed quietly, her hoof covering her eyes.
See? She isn't your friend, Twilight.
The sob suddenly stopped, and the hoof covering her eyes whipped to her side.
What does Moondancer have to do with anything?
Nightlight didn't flinch from the mare's anger. This was going exactly as he hoped.
Think about it, Twilight. I bet there are plenty of ponies at the school. You can make some real friends.
I have real friends, Nightlight!
She snarled back at him, rising up to her full height and glaring down at the stallion. The stallion just snorted.
Your family doesn't count, and Moondancer certainly doesn't either. You know I'm being right.
The mare wilted slightly, and Nightlight pushed one last time, a little too hastily.
The school's a big place. I bet there's some pony there that will put up with you.
The despair and sadness that had slowly crawled onto Twilight's features vanished in an instant.
Put up with me?
She whispered, icily. Nightlight cursed his poor choice of words, but chose to double down.
You're conditioned, dear. I bet there are ponies there that are learned and able to look past it.
The mare got off the bed and pointed to the door.
Get out!
The stallion snarled.
You don't get to tell me what to do in my own home. Now sit down and let's talk about this.
The mare just shook her head slowly.
You don't get it. If my own family can't even put up with me, then what chance is there that a bunch of random ponies will?
The stallion stood up and took a step forward, only to be stopped when he noticed his forehooves were encased in a faint bubblegum-colored aura.
Don't you dare.
Tears ran down the mare's eyes.
Please, just go, Dad.
The stallion grimaced and pushed forward.
No. Now, we are going to sit down and talk about this like adults, or so help me.
A sudden shove of magic, and the stallion found himself sprawled out into the hallway. The door slammed shut a second later. He was back on his hooves in moments and banged on the door. He slammed his hoof a few more times against the wood.
You have until the count of three before I come in there and drag you out!
He waited a few seconds, but the door didn't budge. The house was quiet save for the faint sound of sobbing on the other side of the door.
Three, two, one.
The stallion lit his horn only to be stopped at the last moment when a stark white hoof grabbed his shoulder. Nightlight spun around, his horn still alight with power and a snarl of rage still across his face. It quickly changed when he noticed his wife's eyes looking back into his.
We have to talk, Nightlight.
The stallion wanted to argue, wanted to yell and scream. But he knew better. The tone his wife had spoken in was one that he never wanted to hear, but seldom had to. It was one she reserved solely for when she was extremely angry. Burying his anger, he let out a deep sigh.
Yes, dear.
Celestia sighed deeply and stopped, eyeing the door in front of her with a grim resolve.
It has to be done.
She couldn't deny the necessity of using her specialist, but that didn't necessarily mean that she enjoyed it. She shook her head and swallowed hard.
No.
Her indecision and hopeless optimism had cost her enough opportunities to sweep this little problem under the proverbial rug. If only she had the resolve that burned within her 16 years ago. Then, she would have been able to rid herself of that monster without the guilt that had plagued her. But no matter. The past was the past and she couldn't affect it. Now mattered how much she wanted to. She nodded to the guard, standing silently to her left.
Open the cage, Sunspear. I have need of the prisoner.
The guard nodded back. Yes, Your Majesty. With a pulse of his magic, the door was unlocked, the stallion pushing it open for his princess. The alicorn quickly stepped through, allowing the door to swing shut behind her, a small click indicating that she was locked in. Not like that truly mattered to a being of her power. She had been the one to put such redundancies in place after all. The room wasn't terribly large. A single magical torch burning to her right was enough to illuminate it completely, allowing the alicorn to see the entire cell easily. Directly in front of her was a small control panel with several buttons and a single lever, standing atop a pedestal of alicorn convenient height. Beside that was a black wall of glass that separated the alicorn from the source of her anxiety. Celestia stomped her hoof and sighed. There was no getting around this. She just had to get this done and move on before she wasted any more time. The deja vu that had bothered her since she saw that mare had grown into an incessant ache at the back of her mind that sprooned her on. Not even her pre-memory wipe journal that she had left behind contained any information pertaining to the strange girl or her condition, which made the alicorn nervous. She detested the feeling immensely, and looked forward to seeing the mare dead and the feeling gone. One press of a button illuminated the room beyond the glass. A single magical torch burned opposite of Celestia, revealing an identical room on the other side of the glass save for the fact that there was no way out, and that there was an X-shaped table with a pony lying on it. Celestia looked down on the mare, firmly tied to the table by thick enchanted straps of leather. Her fiery red and gold hair were in disarray, her fur equally as unkempt. Her entire body lay limp in her restraints, her eyes closed and an almost peaceful look covering her face. Celestia paused and stared at that face. It was one she rarely saw on the unicorn, and had never seen on her when she was awake. The alicorn sighed and moved her hoof to the next part of her preparation, but stopped suddenly, images of all the ponies her little specialist had killed flashing before her eyes. Her hoof wavered, and for a second she nearly moved away.
Come on, Celestia. Indecision doomed your sister. You can't let it take anything more.
But her hoof still wavered, undeterred by her mental pep talk.
Do it! You failed once when she was young. You cannot make any more excuses.
With a firm hoof, Celestia pressed the button and began the next stage in the process. Twilight definitely had the right idea when she thought Celestia's offer was quite fishy. Because, my god, it is. Now let's get on to our definitely not fishy donators. Top donators: TacoCat598, Peter Coulthard, J-Tin Man, Darkside, Gauntlet, and only one thing. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Love Dragon, Pastel Skies, Magazine, CrazyKiller557, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Edge, RuneScythe9852, Hunson Orman, Stephen Bingham, Dash of Evergreen, Rhiney Dragonwolf, Ponyman, Tal Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brother and Mordred, Ron and Wandering, Random Person Man Guy, Easy, Skyochia, Leslie Burkett, Jordan Peterson, CrimsonKidsNA9, Lightskin, Monster Kitty, Need to Life, Milan Behenek, and many more amazing people. Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.